You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
We could actually have fun. In the next hour. It can happen.
Alrighty. Test. Blah, blah, blah.
All right, Will, you're on.
Okay, super. Welcome to West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater on the West Coast. I'm celebrity publicist and Broadway veteran Will Armstrong, along with radio host and theater enthusiast Lara Scott. And we're coming to you from Los Angeles, La La Land.
Will, OMG. Oh my God, I'm flying so high after seeing The Bodyguard at the Pantages last week.
I've got the stuff that you want, I got the thing that you need.
Right, I love that you were like, woo, when the bare-chested dancers came out during the Queen of the Night scene.
That show set me free. It was just amazing. It was incredible.
Are you joining it? Are you going to be on tour?
I wish.
It was so amazing, and I wanted to scream. I was losing my voice at that point, though, so I was very, very quiet, but inside I was screaming. But, you know, this is one of those where when I first heard they'd made a musical out of The Bodyguard, I wasn't sure because I grew up with this movie. The soundtrack was just, it was everything. And the songs are just so iconic. In fact, my friend Larry Morgan from K-Earth 101 here in Los Angeles is with us to talk about how important that soundtrack was before we jump into the play.
Hey,
hi, Larry.
Hi, everybody. Well, thanks.
Welcome.
I might have some qualms with the word important, but no, it was it was huge. It was a massive success, definitely, yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is that, remember Whitney was singing I Will Always Love You, and it had like, and I think I still remember exactly that 43-second cold intro where it's just her voice. There's no music. And I was working for a top 40 station in Portland, Oregon at the time. And they edited that to go to the part where the music started. And it was like pitchforks and torches and people coming to the station ready to take us apart because we messed with that.
You know, and I also remember that, you know, MTV had started to kind of fade in its popularity. But that video, everybody seems to remember that video because it uses clips from the movies. But it's got her, you know, sitting on a bench, I guess. And there's a winter scene. And then that whole big giant moment toward the end.
Yep.
Where there's a kind of a whole change in scenery, that actually kind of, there was a resurgence in what videos we're going to be doing around that time.
So you're saying it saved MTV.
And it stinks because it isn't an original song, because Dolly Parton originally recorded it, that it wasn't even eligible for Best Song for the Academy Awards.
It was robbed. I tell you.
But there were plenty of other songs from there to be nominated.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Dolly somebody.
And they did pretty well. I mean, I think the last stat I saw, that soundtrack has sold, since the movie came out in, 1992, I guess? It's closing in on like 50 million copies since it came out.
That's crazy. You know, and Will made a great point after we saw it last week. He said it was like getting to see the movie again for the first time.
Absolutely.
That we all love so much. And Larry, I hope you can get your butt over to the Pantages. I know you're on every night on K-Earth 101, 7 to midnight from Los Angeles.
But maybe I'll just take a whole night off just so I can see the. Is there a matinee? I'll see a matinee.
There are matinees. Incidentally, and Jasmine, who we'll be speaking to later, does all of the performances as Nicky Marin.
Yeah, she is regularly plays Nicky Marin.
Oh,
she's the sister. And then
she
understudies Rachel and in all the matinees.
Well, your enthusiasm is infectious, and now I'm dying to go see it.
What's
and I wouldn't have said that maybe like 20 minutes ago.
Oh my gosh, it is so good.
It really is so good. It's so much fun. It's like watching a music video. It's just absolutely awesome. So thank you so much, Larry.
Sure.
Larry Morgan, everyone.
Thanks,
all right.
Larry.
Yay.
But Lara, so you talk about how the soundtrack is impactful.
Mm-hmm.
It's so impactful that I was driving to record the show here, and I was listening to my Whitney Houston songs to get to channel and to get in the right frame of mind, and the cars to my left started moving,
And I just started driving, and I rear-ended the person.
No!
I was in a small fender bender.
No.
And okay, so
are you okay?
Oh, I'm totally fine.
Okay,
and the woman, the Infiniti that I hit in front of me, she got out, and she came over, and she was beautiful, and she was smiling. And I was like, she goes, let's pull over and exchange information. So I went over, we exchanged, and she was the nicest. And I like hugged her, and I was like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine, are you okay? And we looked, and it just two little screw marks in her bumper.
Oh, wow.
Like, and that was it. And it was totally fine. And she's like, I'm going to show my husband, and maybe we'll go to the body shop, but maybe we won't even...
You just buff that out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So hopefully everything... And so I had to tell my boyfriend that I had a small fender bender, but the car seemed fine.
Well, Bill also loves the music of Whitney Houston. We were talking about how the Greatest Hits album is magical, so I'm sure he will understand.
The only thing he loves more is that car, right. So...
Well, good luck with that, Will.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully he's an understanding guy. All right, so let's jump into the play. Let's talk about sort of how this all got started.
Absolutely. Well, the play premiered in London in 2012 and was nominated for 4 Laurence Olivier Awards, including Best New Musical.
And, you know, just like in the movie, in the play, Frank Farmer is a former Secret Service agent who is reluctantly hired to protect superstar singer Rachel Maron from an unknown stalker.
And it's so funny because... As you know, each expects to be in charge, but what they don't expect is to fall in love.
Swoon. I'm totally swooning right now. And I mean, you have Deborah Cox, you have Judson Mills, who used to be on my mom's favorite soap opera, As the World Turns, in the starring roles. And they're just beautiful people and so talented. Because when you're talking Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner, those are some really big shoes to fill.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And really quickly, while we're kind of comparing the film to the musical, I love that they added additional Whitney songs like Saving All My Love for You, I Want to Dance with Somebody, One Moment in Time. So it was,
yeah,
it was like a Whitney opera.
It was. You know, it was such a great surprise, but it just worked perfectly. And it made me miss Whitney over again. So
yes.
We are going to be chatting with Judson Mills in just a few moments and Jasmine Richardson. But first, let's talk about Deborah Cox, Will.
Oh
my gosh. I've been a fan of hers since I played all of her dance hits when I worked at a top 40 station in San Francisco in the late 90s. Like, remember her?
Yes, of course. Yeah. And you know that she recorded all of Whitney's songs for that Lifetime biopic a little while ago?
Mm-hmm.
So she was the perfect choice for the role of the bodyguard.
Yeah. So she did a song, right?
You were
telling me. I hadn't heard it, but it was Whitney and Deborah.
You've
somehow
never heard this song?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
What's it called?
It's same script, different cast. And it's a duet with Deborah Cox and Whitney Houston. And it's like, I think it was before The Boy Is Mine with Monica and Brandy.
Yes.
So it's like two women
singing. Like the superstar duets. Yeah.
Or,
oh my God.
Yeah. Or Does He Love You Like He Loves Me? Like those great songs of two women like battling over the same man. So
yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Can we put that on our Facebook page?
Absolutely. I will put it on the Facebook page
so
that people can enjoy because it's so good. And Deborah's so beautiful. And yeah, because they were both Arista recording artists.
So of course they put them together.
Exactly.
And, you know, I saw Deborah a couple of years ago. I didn't realize she had gone to Broadway because I wasn't totally into theater back then like I am now. And Jekyll and Hyde came to the Pantages, and it was Constantine Maroulis.
Yep, from
like
American
Jekyll
Idol.
Jekyll and Hyde, yeah, from American Idol. And then Deborah Cox playing the prostitute.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Ivy. But she was so beautiful in that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And she's also been a friend to the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. I remember
That's
back
awesome.
In the 90s, my friend Sydney James, who's in Hamilton on Broadway now, and I'm so proud of him. When we were just breaking into musical theater in LA, I mean in New York, we went at 4 a.m. to Earth, which was this dance club, just to see her say, like, she came out at 4 in the morning.
That was the 90s, right?
Yeah,
nobody came on before 4 a.m., right? The opening act, yeah.
And it was totally worth it, and she was so beautiful.
So good.
Yeah.
But wait, we have to tell one of your stories. Can you tell the story that you told at dinner at Katsuya about her song?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I used to live in Japan, and I was doing a show. I was a chorus boy in like a Vegas review in Japan for 9 months. And the cast, I mean, we were the only English-speaking people, so we had to become a family, and lots of times families can become disgruntled families that don't
and
always...
And a little dysfunctional.
Yes. And so I remember my mantra was Deborah Cox's song, Nobody's Supposed to Be Here, but instead I would change the lyrics, and I would look at myself in the mirror while I was putting on my makeup for the show, and I'd sing, How did I get here? I'm not supposed to be here.
But you got out finally.
But I got out.
Deborah inspired you, and
yes,
you got out, and you ended up at the Pantages.
Yes.
And for opening night, you were going crazy because RuPaul was one row in front of us and like 3 seats to the right, and it was just so fun seeing the crowd and people just going nuts, just
it was,
like you.
Well, I
yeah.
mean, okay.
Phillip
so
Block was there.
I feel like there was a definite a rift. There were people that were there to see a concert and people that were there to see a show.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was, so I felt, because I was hooping and hollering and whooping and dancing.
And people wanted to stand up. Yeah.
But then there was also people that wanted to just enjoy and sit back and be entertained. And I felt a little bit guilty that I was like losing my mind. But those voices and those lights and the everything.
And just the staging, mm-hmm. it was kind of like you were at a rock concert because she, you know, Rachel is this pop star and movie star. And so just with the screens and the way it was staged and the dancers. And,
like really setting everything up so you understood. So in case if you were one of the five people that have never seen the movie The Bodyguard, mm-hmm. you would understand right away that she is the greatest star on earth.
Like exactly. Like she was basically Whitney Houston.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There you go. And I wonder if Perez Hilton liked it. That was cool to see Perez Hilton.
Yeah, sitting next to Megan Hilty.
Yeah.
So it's Megan Hilty and Perez Hilton. If they got married, what would they
Megan Hilty Hilton.
Yeah. But I don't think they're going to get married.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get married. But it was really fun to see them.
Yes.
We are so excited to welcome Jasmine Richardson to West of Broadway. Now, Jasmine plays Nikki Merritt in The Bodyguard, the musical, and is also the understudy for the role of Rachel. And when you see the play and you're going, okay, she's beautiful. She looks really familiar. You may recognize her from her campaign with Clinique Cosmetics or from her tours with Memphis and Dreamgirls. Welcome, Jasmine.
Hey, Jasmine.
Yay.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. I have to say, we both enjoyed you so much. And what was crazy is that we were there on opening night, mm-hmm. and to just, mm-hmm. I was watching the show, of course, but I was also enjoying the people in the audience watch you all perform. And you just entertained everyone so much, especially, I mean, I just feel like you did such a wonderful job of getting the audience on your side and behind you and really rooting for your character. You were so likable and so wonderful and so talented. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and it was crazy. We went out to the lobby at intermission. We're like, who is the girl who is playing the sister? When you sang Saving All My Love for You and then you sang Run to You, the duet with mm-hmm. Deborah, how do you find that balance between being true to what Whitney Houston did and then you made those songs your own? It was incredible.
Well, thank you so much. The key thing for me, my foundation was we always wanted to reference her because it really is like the show is like an homage to her, just to her work, her catalog. So, of course, you want to have a little bit of that referencing point for people to connect to the song. But with my tone and just my timbre, I can't. It's just not, you know, my gift. But I learned how to sing by listening to her. So it was easy to kind of go back and kind of reference her, but still create my own sound with it, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely.
So it was really, it was such a challenge, yet it was exciting to kind of make it my own. So I'm
sure.
Really excited about singing this music. I love this music. I never get tired of it.
It is so obvious that you love it because it just your smile when you're on stage is just so radiant. And my question for you is, you also, during the matinees, you play the role, you take over for Deborah and you play Rachel Merritt. How hard is it for you to juggle back and forth to go between the two characters?
Oh my gosh, thank you for asking that question. It is such a challenge, even now, because sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself.
Sure.
Because I will play her role in the matinee and then I'll come back and play my role at night. And so it's really tricky, especially in the beginning. But I've kind of figured it out now how to manage, and I just kind of review the lines before I go on. That way I don't switch them up.
Yeah, has that ever happened? Where you're like, oh, wait, no, wrong sister. Yeah.
There's been one moment where I almost said something and I realized it was her.
Wow.
And so I've caught myself in enough time to not, like, ruin the show.
Sure.
It's such a great challenge. How lucky am I to be able to play both incredible leading women? So, you just figure it out.
Now, how did you get to be a part of this musical? Did they come to you? Did you audition? How did this all come about?
Well, I auditioned. I live in L.A., and I flew to New York. And it was like a two-day process for me. And I auditioned, and I think what happened was I know I was auditioning for Nikki, and they just kind of heard me sing and asked me to sing a few other songs, but I wasn't sure why.
Okay.
And then it kind of came out, obviously, during, like, when I got offered the role and the contract, it was like, we really want her to cover. So it kind of just worked out, whereas I thought I was just going to be, like, just Nikki, or if I did cover, I wouldn't be necessarily first up. I would be, you know, maybe after a couple of other girls, but I wound up being, no, she's the one that we want to cover her directly. And so it just kind of worked out that way.
I feel like you won the lottery because you get mm-hmm. to sing every single one of those songs. You're so lucky.
Oh, my God. On Saturday, I sing the entire score of the show.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. And it's just, it's so funny because we often talk about here on West of Broadway how the unsung hero is the understudy, mm-hmm. because you have to be so talented and so on your game. And when people open up and they say the role of so-and-so is going to be played by such and such, and they almost feel a little bit bummed, I'm like, you should actually be psyched because they are super talented and they're going to give you a show because they don't get to do...
I feel the same way. I mean, I definitely get it as a ticket holder. Like, you go and you buy a show knowing you're going to see a name. I totally get it. However, it's always such a surprise because that person that's been waiting kind of just to go on is just, they're there to give you 100%. They're rested. They're excited.
Exactly.
And you're
going
to get a great show. But I totally get it, like, not seeing the person you initially had in mind.
But you know what, Jasmine?
But it works out.
Yeah, I was going to say, get ready, because very soon the ticket holders will be buying Jasmine Richardson. You're going to be super involved if you're not doing that role.
Okay. It's so crazy because I think it works in my favor that I get to be Nikki.
Yes.
So I have people oftentimes say, I want to come back and see you as Rachel.
Why? Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely. I felt exactly that. And so we were sitting in the center, and I was watching the audience, like I said, and we were discussing right before we spoke to you, what do you prefer? Do you prefer people to watch the show like they're watching a concert, or do you want them to be respectfully sit there like they're watching a play?
It's tricky because this music is so engaging and mm-hmm. everyone knows it already. Mm-hmm. I kind of like it when they are singing along, and I kind of like it when it's treated somewhat like a concert. And obviously, during the scene, you know, you respectfully, you know, pay attention. But honestly, we kind of love the energy when they're like, and they're singing along because it's Whitney Houston.
Yes. Well, Jasmine, I was sitting behind RuPaul, and you would swear that RuPaul was in church. Like, it was just so fun to watch him watch you. It was
grooving.
Oh, and in the second
I
act,
wish
when
I could have met him, I didn't even meet him that night.
Oh my! He loved you. He absolutely loved you. When you walked, I'm not gonna do any spoilers, but when you walk around the bed and you look, he screamed. It was so amazing. It was such a wonderful moment, and you handled it so perfectly. It was just. I love the first act, but the second act was just, oh, my God.
You know, when people say that, because, you know, obviously, if you've seen the show, I'm not going to ruin it either, but if you've seen the show, they know what's coming, and obviously, me as a character, I don't. And people are always like, ooh, girl. Oh, yeah. they're, like, going through the motions, and I'm just, like, obviously trying to pretend like I don't hear them.
No, absolutely.
So funny. What?
Didn't somebody get kicked out of Hamilton recently for singing badly, loudly, like somebody in the audience?
I did not hear
that. Was my, because I wanted to sing at the Bodyguard, but then I'm like, no. I don't want to get thrown out of the
stage. Like, you don't want anyone to be disrespectful or distracting to other people watching the show, but, like, it's okay. Like, there are a number of, like, up-tempo songs where it's okay, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Not the bad, but, like, it's okay to sing along. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, how was that for you? You know, opening night in Hollywood at the Pantages, you're from L.A., so you know a little bit about the theater and the history and everything.
I do. I mean, actually, I've been living here maybe a little bit over a year. So, but I knew, what's funny about that is I came to see a show at the Pantages. I remember seeing the Bodyguard sign and saying, oh, my God, I would love to come and perform at this theater. And, oh, my God, if I could only sing with you. I remember saying that and, like, envisioning myself doing it. And so it's so crazy a year later to be here doing it. Like, I'm literally living my dream.
That is so incredible to hear and so inspiring to our listeners, I'm sure. So when did you first start singing?
I started singing as a child in church. And I was actually really, really shy. And the best way to get me to communicate was to kind of, like, you know, play a little ditty and then I would make up a song or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started when I was really, really young. And my parents my mother used to force me because I would sing all the time at home but get really shy in front of people. And thank God for her kind of just, like, you know, coaxing me and encouraging me. And that's kind of how I started. And then I remember specifically hearing the Bodyguard, the tape, when the movie came out.
My mom
was a huge Whitney fan. And I remember hearing that. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I saw a picture of Whitney and being like, oh, my God, she looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to sound like that. And I kind of just fell into singing that way.
What a blessing. That I'm so happy for you to have this experience. Congratulations.
Me too. Thank you.
Has your mom come out to see you yet? Has your family been able to
come
visit?
Oh, my God, of course. They flew out when we were in New Jersey, when we opened. They flew out, and they live in Texas, so they've come out to New Orleans when we were there, and they'll be back, and they're going to see me in Texas. My parents have probably seen me, like, 20 times already. They haven't seen me go on for Rachel, but they've seen me as Nikki.
Amazing.
A lot.
Just real quick, I follow you on social media, and you're beautiful and hilarious. And that recent video of you and Deborah Cox harmonizing in the Instagram filter is so fun. If you're listening, you need to go check her out on social media. We'll post it on Facebook. It is so cute.
Oh, my God.
How is your relationship with Deborah? You guys seem like sisters.
Really and truly, it's such a genuine relationship. As far as, like, when I first met her, of course, I was like, okay, be cool. Don't say anything stupid.
I'm sure.
One of those people, when I get nervous, I put my foot in my mouth and I'll just make anything. And so I had to, like, literally not talk to her for the first couple of days. It's kept like, hi, you know, and I just kept it easy. And then I just was being myself. If you watch me on Instagram, like, I have Insta stories, people are like, you are crazy. So I just was myself. And honestly, we just naturally get along.
That makes me so
happy.
We're
both Cancers. We were born in July, so that's kind of helped. And we just have a natural chemistry. And she's so fun. Deborah is so fun. Outside of, like, obviously being Deborah Cox and having that whole, like, she's a star. Her the person, she's so much fun. Like, that's us, really. In that little video, that is our personality.
That's so cute. And I love getting to see behind the scenes now, like, thanks to social media and everything. You guys are so cute. And just your chemistry with Deborah, your chemistry with Judson, too. Like, I believe to all of it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for saying. I mean, I'm really, really close to Judson. He's just such a down-to-earth person. Like, they set the tone as our lead to the show, and they just came in so gracious, so loving, so giving and kind. That our whole tour has been set.
That's the way to do it.
The energy.
Yeah, because so much of the vibe hangs on the leads, like, to set the tone for the tour. Because you guys are the traveling family. You don't get to go back home to your apartments in New York City because you're on Broadway or wherever. Like, so wherever you go, that's your family that you're traveling with.
And as
someone who just went on a journey watching that show, like, just to hear how wonderful the relationship is backstage makes me so happy. That's so great.
That's good, because hopefully you're feeling it on stage. It's just genuine, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And we're glad it's fun for you, because that's an intense couple of hours. Like, watching that, there's some heavy stuff going on. Oh, my gosh. You know, Jasmine, we're about to wrap up, because we know you have to run. You're a busy girl. But we're going to be talking to Judson in a few minutes. Is there anything that we should ask him, or that we could say, hey, we heard this about you, that we just blow up away?
Ask him about his warm-up.
Okay.
Jasmine wants you guys to hear him warm up. He has warm-ups that are hilarious.
Oh, excellent. Awesome. Is he doing
from a theater? He doesn't come from a musical theater background. He's a TV film guy. So ask him about his warm-up and his preparation for Top of Act 2 when he has to lay and be sexy in a bit.
All right. Well, Jasmine, we know you're super busy, so we want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Of course. Thank you.
And we are all going to keep up with you on jasminerichardson.com. There's no E at the end of Jasmine, by the way. And you're at Jazzy_sweetthing on social media, so we'll be sure
sweet
to
post.
Sweet thing.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jasmine.
Thank you so much,
Jasmine. Of course. Thank you, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
That was wonderful.
Love her.
Oh, my God.
She's so cute. We want to be BFFs with
Absolute.
Jasmine. Yeah, she was amazing.
I geeked out. I'm sorry. I totally geeked out. I just got so, like, she's so likable.
I know.
And that smile
but
and
that's,
that voice.
I mean, you come from the theater world, Will, and do you find that people, not that people that are on TV or in the movies aren't, but just it feels like there's a difference sometimes with theater folks and then people in other areas of entertainment.
Well, actually, I mean, just as a gypsy, and that's what we call ourselves, like, mm-hmm. I mean, as far as just, like I said, like, your family is, it's decided by a group of people that sit behind a card table one day and they randomly put people together because of their abilities, and then they have to mesh. Like, so you have to find common ground. So you have to learn to be able to get along with all different kinds of personalities. And because it's the theater, they're big personalities.
Yeah. But, training for publicity.
Yes.
You're doing now.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. I couldn't do what I do now if it wasn't for what I learned as a performer.
Well, I'm so glad you're doing your publicist thing, Will. And right now we're going to see if we can get Judson Mills on the phone. Oh my gosh, Frank Farmer.
Oh my gosh. So funny.
Hello.
Hey, Judson.
Hey.
Hey, this is Will Armstrong and Lara Scott from West of Broadway. How are you?
Hi, Judson.
Hello, hello.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We're just going to dive right in, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined by Frank Farmer himself, Judson Mills. Judson spent 3 years on As the World Turns and has done over 35 guest starring roles on TV, including Law & Order, The X-Files, and Westworld. He was a series regular on Walker, Texas Ranger and starred in The President's Man, A Line in the Sand. He has appeared in 20 feature films, including Mighty Joe Young and Gods and Monsters. Judson, welcome to West of Broadway.
Well, thank you so much. That was an illustrious career. That was incredible.
We do our due diligence here.
Can you believe you did all of that? And now you're back on stage. You majored in theater. You went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. Whoop. Did it feel great to get back in front of a live audience?
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, had I known how much work this was going to be, I probably wouldn't have signed up. But, you know, that's in the past now.
Wow, so how much work
these
is
theater
it?
Folks are some hardworking people.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's been an incredible experience. It's been really challenging. It's been artistically rewarding. It's been overwhelming at moments, but I like an opportunity to push myself and to rise to the occasion. And so, you know, going through the rehearsal process, there were certainly moments where I would come to my senses, if you will, and be like, wow, I wonder if I can actually pull this off. But it's been an experience I would never trade. To be back in front of a live audience is really magical.
Absolutely.
To be in front of audiences this large is really, magical.
I'm sure.
Working with Deborah and these folks that are involved in this has been amazing. We've really got a great team. And despite the fact I don't do this on the reg, I'm acutely aware that there's something special going on.
No, absolutely. So you definitely take on a lot when but did you face the challenge, like it was playing Frank Farmer, of playing it too straight? Because I feel like you do a wonderful job of that balance, because mm-hmm. you play the straight-laced bodyguard, but you're still likable and lovable. How did you find that balance?
You know, that's probably the single most fundamental difficulty that I've had for this entire experience. That the thing about the movie is that cinema lends itself to a particular kind of stillness,
sure,
and a particular kind of silence that Frank Farmer, that embodies Frank Farmer. You know, you can have a character in a film that doesn't speak for almost the entire movie and still through the camera see what he's thinking, see what he's feeling, and tell what's going on emotionally. You can watch a journey take place in a character. On stage, it's not that way. It's different. And so to embody what I believe Kasdan intended for Frank Farmer, to embody some of what Costner did, to try to be true to the character and remain entertaining and still communicate with people in the mezzanine is profoundly challenging. And so it's been a process of, you know, trying things and it not working, trying things and working, you know, settling on things. I started very still and very, very simply with this character. And I sort of allowed the process and the relationships I developed with the actors in the show right now to start to color and enhance my Frank Farmer's personality and the way that he deals with people and situations and things. And so along the way, Deborah and I have worked tirelessly and continue to work tirelessly after every show, trying to figure out what moments we think worked, what moments we think didn't. And I've tried to find a way to connect with something physically that still honors the stillness and the samurai kind of quality of Frank Farmer, but does express what I'm thinking and feeling when I talk and when I don't talk, because my character is a man of few words for the most part. You know, I don't get a lot of dialogue to tell my story or to, deal with the other characters. So you really kind of hit the nail on the head with that challenge and that quandary of trying to make this guy, trying to translate this process to the stage in a way that is entertaining and still communicates with the audience, you know, verbally, vocally, as well as physically, but stays true to the character. And I'm happy with what I'm doing right now. I feel like I'm in a pretty good place.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, Lawrence Kasdan came and worked with us, and that was invaluable and an honor and an amazing experience. So that was a couple weeks ago, and that's been very helpful. But kudos to you for picking that one out. That's the one.
Will, you asked the greatest question ever in the history of broadcasting. That was amazing. No, yeah. You know, Judson, like that was such a great answer too. I love that you compared this character to kind of a samurai, where you have that thing that's so hard to find, and its presence. You were standing on the stage, and we all had our attention on you, and you weren't even saying anything, and you're surrounded by kind of these outrageous characters and these strong women. So yeah, kudos to you for pulling that off.
Well, thank you. That's really kind of you. I appreciate the kind words, and that's, you know, I couldn't hear anything better, quite frankly. I mean, that's really what you're trying to do is possess the moment and the space and fill the stage when you're standing still and saying nothing, as well as when you're given a chance to say something out loud and move around and be connected. You know, there's not a lot of props and environment in this one. There's some. But for the most part, you know, an actor gets his physical life from dealing with his surroundings, you know, with his environment. So, you know, in particular, being a film and television actor or having been doing that part of acting for so long, I'm used to being in an environment that's real, that gives me everything that I need in terms of physical activity and moment-to-moment work in my environment. And so only having a few props or no props, as is the case in a lot of this show, has been very challenging to tell the story.
You mentioned props, and you mentioned samurai. One of the things that I loved from the movie, which I was wondering how you're going to tackle, which didn't make it to the show, was the samurai sword in, like, almost the seduction part. Was there ever a time when they were talking about, how are we going to work this into the show?
No, you know what? Not to my knowledge. Now, keep in mind, this thing
since 2012
incarnated 6 years ago in London. So a lot of what they did in their process and in their tech and in their, you know, workshops, I don't know if that was in the original script or you know, what was included. There's been, you know, some changes and some things made to the script along the way. I know there's been stuff taken out. There's been stuff added. There's going to be some other changes, I think, ultimately made perhaps down the road.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a process. Since I've been on board, we never have dealt with the samurai sword or any of that. But there certainly has been a lot of the word samurai has been tossed around a lot during the process.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, has Kevin Costner come to see the show?
Not yet. No, not to my knowledge.
That, I think that he would really enjoy your performance.
Because that's great. I appreciate that.
It's such a delicate balance because you have to make the audience fall in love with you and then have the two leading ladies fall in love with you. It's such a huge challenge, and I mean, I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you on the phone, but like, you're really, really great. And we were really, really, and I know it's in jest, but I was grateful that you got a chance to actually use your vocal prowess too.
You get to sing.
It's a musical after all.
Everybody really likes that scene. And you know, it is the biggest scene. It is the scene that's most, you know, that's got an actual sort of an environment to it, you know, and other characters. And so I think it's a really wonderful point amidst the Whitney Houston concert to connect with some humor and to connect with some story, to connect with some personality. But I appreciate your support on this one. It's definitely been challenging, and I'm glad to hear that it's working. It's certainly always, as a leading man, a fine line and a challenge because you're trying to remain humble and unaffected enough that your viewer sees, in this particular case, Frank Farmer sort of the through line to the show, and you see a lot of the show through his eyes and his perspective, you know, as I walk from one place to another on the stage and the scene changes or whatever. So you're trying to not to alienate anyone, you know, and although he's supposed to be a tough guy and somewhat of a macho guy and an alpha male, it's always very delicate because you can come off, you know, cocky, or you can come off fully yourself or narcissistic. It's easy to put off the men in the audience. You know, if you can rope in the gentlemen and especially the younger gentlemen, you got it made. You know, if those guys will trust you and support you, then you've done your job. And ironically enough, on a little bit of a trivia side note, the Japanese character on my chest, which I've had tattooed on over my heart for the last probably 20 years, is the Japanese character for Samurai.
Wow.
See, you were destined to play this role.
Ironically enough, isn't that something?
That is incredible.
That is really cool. Well, you know, your co-star Jasmine is a huge fan of yours. We were just talking to her, and she said we had to ask you about your warm-up routine to get your voice ready for your big singing scene, and then what you do to look all sexy in the bed, like in the second act. So maybe you can speak to that.
Okay, so because it's been so many years since I've done any theater work and been on the stage, and because I've been, you know, doing film work and camera work where the there's virtually no vocal warm-up or any necessity for any of that. I have this sort of ragtag non-vocal warm-up that I do, which is just kind of like la 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 lo 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 le le, and I'll do all these kind of unconventional, really like sort of layman kind of silly noises, if you will, to try to get my voice warm.
Sure.
And I've been doing it since the beginning, and everyone just thinks it's the funniest thing. They all make fun of me because it's completely unorthodox, and I don't know that there's any real, you know, technique at all to what I'm doing.
But, if an alien landed and had to contend,
yeah, exactly.
I'm warming up. I'm warming up.
Yes. So it's always a light-hearted moment before the show for them. They sneak by my dressing room and listen. I think they recorded it sometime.
Yeah, can you put that on Instagram, please?
Well, that's the thing.
That's a good one. I should, right? Yeah. I should. They should. Yeah, we should do one of those.
Your entire cast is so much fun to observe on social media. Like, it's clearly such a tight-knit group of wonderful people, and we're so grateful to have Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all these and Facebook so that we can keep up with you and just and continue this relationship, because everyone got invested through that 2.5 hour production.
Yeah, we're involved now. Well, we're emotionally invested in this now.
You know, that's a great point. That's a really great point. And that's something that social media, I think, really is wonderful for. You do get a sense of you know, who these characters are as people. You know, you get a sense of us as, you know, for who we are as human beings and the things we like and don't like and our sense of humors and all of that, what we're doing in our personal lives. And so that is a really nice kind of an addition to all this. You know, when the bodyguards come into your town or any show or whatever, you know, you can get to sort of know people so that when you see them, yeah, you are a little more invested and feel like you've got a friend up on stage or something like that. And we're lucky. This group has been really tightly knit from the beginning. Deborah and I really tried to make an effort from the first day in rehearsal of setting a tone of inclusion and of equality. We've really tried to embrace the whole cast as an ensemble and tried to support, you know, the fact that we all succeed together.
Absolutely.
And that this is our show, and really tried to get away from there being any delineation between the stars or the principals and the rest of the cast. And I think it's
everybody's rowing the boat together.
Yes, that's right. And so we do things together all the time. We get together. I'm having a party at a place in town that a friend of mine owns tomorrow. There's four or five of us who have birthdays this month, so we're going to get together, and there's a band, and everybody will go. So we're constantly sort of taking turns hosting things and trying to get people together. And it makes being on the road and doing this for such a long period of time much easier to palate.
Well, your life doesn't stop just because you sign up for 6 months to do a tour. It's like, and it's about experiences and stuff like that, and making it something that for the rest of your life, your entire cast will look back and just be like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So good for you.
Agreed. Yeah, it's been a really magic, you know, experience. Sometimes you hear, you know, people talk about movies or shows or things after the fact, and you'll hear them say in interviews, yeah, we knew from day one that we were really involved in something special. And I have to be honest, this is one of those moments.
That's so nice.
From the word go, when Deborah and I met, you know, the way that this came together for her and for me, and then the experiences and the group that we were able to put together, we knew from the beginning that there was something special going on. You know, my friend Alex Dinalaris is my college roommate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we went to college at Barry University together and stayed up late in the theater drinking Coors Extra Gold, talking about winning Oscars and going to Broadway. And when they could not cast the bodyguard in this show, after a year and a half or 2 years or whatever they'd been looking in London and New York, they were going to hire somebody.
Sure.
And my understanding is, you know, it was kind of a, well, I guess, you know, we'll hire him because we're not, you know. And so Alex was like, no, hold on a minute.
Okay.
And was coming out to LA to pitch a show for somebody and gave me a call. And so he goes, listen, would you want to travel? And he said, the bodyguard doesn't sing, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what do you mean by that? And we got together and put some stuff on an iPhone, and they made me an offer like the next day or something. So it was all very inspired from the beginning and very interesting. It was a very special process.
And God bless the iPhone for that, because you are so fantastic.
I mean?
Yes.
Exactly.
You know?
But, yes.
And the fact that the two women have their roles, they have the music of Whitney Houston that they can reach out and grab every single person in their seat, and you don't have that luxury, and you still are able to do that and to connect with the entire Pantages Theater is just incredible. And so I just applaud all of you for a wonderful performance, and I encourage everyone to either see it at the Pantages while it's here or see it in your town.
Yeah, it's going to be a Sagerstrom. We'll talk about those dates in a minute. And Judson, we know you have a show to get ready for tonight. So happy early birthday. So your birthday was this month. So
enjoy. Thank you so much. Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow's the birthday.
Excellent.
Thank you. Wow. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're so thrilled for
you
with this.
It's been my pleasure. And wherever you may be, get up and come out and get bodyguarded, folks.
There you go.
He's coming for you.
Yeah.
And also, every social media platform, you're at Judson Mills, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, please. And I do my best to try to interact with people.
No,
and
you tweeted directly to me, and I called that Lara, and I was like, Lara, he's coming for me.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, I try to do my best to connect with everybody. I appreciate the support, and it's really it's overwhelming and very humbling to see how people respond and to hear what people have to say. So I appreciate all the support, and everybody's coming out and hanging with us.
Well,
wonderful. Thank you so much, Judson. Take care, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That
nicest guy in the entire world.
That
and Jasmine.
So nice.
Oh, my gosh. This is so fun. Okay, so I think we have to start to wrap things up. But, Will, you're, like, bouncing out of your chair.
So I just want to thank Judson so much for taking the time to speak with us. And thank you to Jasmine Richardson for calling in, too. I'm just so thrilled that we got to see The Bodyguard. And it's at the Pantages until May 21st.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And for tickets and for more information about The Bodyguard here in L.A., you can visit the official website for the Hollywood Pantages Theater, hollywoodpantages.com/The Bodyguard.
And you can also check out thebodyguardmusical.com. And by the way, the show will be in Orange County in Costa Mesa at the Sagerstrom Center for the Arts starting on May 30th. And are you going down there?
I'm going to be there. Yeah, I'm going to be there on Tuesday, May 30th. I'm going to see it again.
I want to
drag
you
with me. I know. And I feel like there's so many things that you'll pick up the second time seeing it again. So while you're online checking out all this Bodyguard goodness, visit us at westofbroadwaypodcast.com to check out some of our other eps and like us on Facebook at Will and Lara.
Yes, exactly.
Will, I have nothing. 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 Without. No.
I want to run to you.
Yeah, we're going to leave. Okay, let's let Deborah Cox sing us out for real. Her rendition of I Want to Dance with Somebody from her new EP, I Will Always Love You, available on iTunes. And Will, I Will Always Love You in this podcast. Thanks so much for joining us here on West of Broadway. I'm Lara Scott.
And I'm Will Armstrong. And if you're looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway.
Clock strikes upon the hour, and the sun begins to fade. Still enough time to figure out how to chase my blues away.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.